Well, hello. We are back with another solo episode with myself, me, myself, and I. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not feeling the best, feeling pretty low energy, low mood. Overall, just mid for you young people. My God, I can't believe I just said that. Anyways, I was close to not doing an episode today. And I thought, you know what? Let's still do it. We don't always have to do things when we're feeling 100% or at our best self, even though I do want to put my best foot forward with this podcast. And you know what? I think so far I have. And just because I'm not as enthusiastic sounding in my voice and tone today, doesn't mean. It doesn't mean I'm not still going to pop off on what I will be talking about with you guys today. So, thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to show up in whatever state and position I'm at today. But just to let you know, everything is good. I'm just going through a little bit of stress right now. I feel like the beginning of the year is always kind of like a, it's difficult. You know, for me, it's like my slow season. And, you know, just trying to figure some stuff out while trying to keep my head above water, like we all are doing right now in this crazy world. Yeah. Anyways. Before I start, I want to just acknowledge the land that I am on now. I am in Bellingham, Washington, where I currently reside. For those of you who don't know, I am done with van life. Van life kicked me in the butt. Van life gave me a lot of financial burden, so I had to move my butt back to Washington, and I'm very glad that I moved up to Bellingham. So anyways, back to the land of acknowledgement. We in Bellingham are part of the Lummi Nation and the Nooksack tribe, and I just want to thank you to those who came before us, to those who are still here. There's a big native population up here in Bellingham, which I think is really beautiful. And I feel honored to be on this sacred land and to be able to share it with other people, even though we are on stolen land. But I am still trying to find the beauty that lies within this land amidst, So, anyways, we're just gonna dive right on in. Today I am also recording this podcast episode. I'm just recording it on my phone. If this doesn't work and I can't post this to Spotify, then maybe I'll use some of these clips for TikTok, Instagram, but I'm just kind of giving it a whirl today. Looking a little rough, but that's okay. Again, we don't have to present ourselves at our best. We don't have to put on a face of makeup. I'm quite literally wearing a beanie and a t-shirt, and I've been just in the dark place the last few days. So, but I'm still showing up, and this is how I look today. So, yeah. So, today I am going to talk to you guys about why I stopped watching reality love shows. And quite frankly, how it's literally changed my life for the better. I will talk more about this at the end, but I've always been a reality show type of person. Mom loves reality shows, and we would watch them. We would watch everything when I was younger. The Apprentice, Barf, Amazing Race, Survivor, all the reality shows that were available to us to watch, we would basically watch them. Undercover Boss, all that stuff. So when I really think back to it, I have basically, I'm almost 31 now. I've basically slash religiously been watching these reality love shows since I was 14, 15 years old. That's over half of my life. And when I say consistent, I mean consistent. I've seen practically every Bachelor and Bachelorette, except for after Katie, the Seattle girl. I didn't even watch, I think her name was Michelle. I didn't even watch her season afterwards. I was just like, I'm done fucking over this. But that's pretty consistent, and that's kind of a lot to watch and take in for half of my motherfucking life. But I came to this realization. I mean, there's a ton of realizations that I'm about to like tell you guys and my coming to, a decision on what I am intaking, what I am watching, what I am consuming. But after me recently coming out as asexual and like baby queer, these shows don't fit the narrative of other people aside from painfully, painfully, painfully heterosexual straight people. And for someone who has literally been watching these for more than half of their life, I'm tired of these goddamn shows on these goddamn network programs and these goddamn producers picking all these goddamn contestants. I am so tapped out, and it's astonishing to me that there probably is, and maybe they will come out with some shows now, but there's no reality love shows that are same-sex love or even just like bisexual love. And I think maybe there are some starting in like Australia. I think I heard there was a boudoir, excuse me, just my work brain coming in. There was a Bachelorette contestant who I think is bi, and I think they had men and women as her like future suitor candidates, which I thought was really cool. But I don't think that is coming to this country anytime soon, because a lot of these reality love shows, especially The Bachelor, Bachelorette, are very heteronormative white people. I mean, you saw it took over a decade to have the first Black Bachelorette, which was Rachel, and then to have the first Black Bachelor, which I believe was Matt, which was not even that long ago. That was less than 3, 4 years ago. And that also was the last Bachelor show that I watched. But you have these shows that are very, very, like they push the heteronormative straight lens and relationship. And those shows that took over a decade to just have a Black person be the lead, be the one who is in charge of finding their own love. That took way too long. So I really don't have any hope for especially the Bachelor, Bachelorette franchise to push the boundaries a little bit more when, with other types of love, other types of people, other types of identities, all of that stuff. So, I mean, my first Bachelorette love reality show that I watched was Bachelorette, like 15 years ago, when The Bachelorette was Trisha. And I thought, oh, wow, isn't this really cute? Like a naive little 15-year-old watching the show with my mom, excuse me. And, she picks Ryan, who they're still together. today, which I think is awesome and beautiful. And that's amazing. It's fantastic. It really is. And I thought, oh, how cute, you know, she's picking Ryan, who was like the shy guy, the poet. He wasn't like the super masculine, overtly, you know, masculine man who was just had to dominate with his voice or his attitude or his ego. And I thought, oh, well, that's so sweet. And literally since then, it's just all been downhill, in my opinion. I do think it's really cool that they're still together today, but I think the ratio to people who make it on this show versus the ratio to those who break up, they don't even make it to the final rose ceremony, all of that stuff. It's a big gap. It's a really big gap. But what got me to this decision recently was I watch a lot of television, and it's because I spend a lot of my time editing, or I do very like easy, frivolous work, like getting photos ready for blogs. It's just a lot of like kind of mundane work. And as someone who has ADHD, I can't just sit there and edit an entire wedding or even an entire session of like 200 photos. I have to either be listening to music, I have to be listening to a podcast, or I have to be watching shows. So I watch a lot of shows in order to make the mundaneness and the office work sort of aspects of my job fly by a lot faster. And I was watching this season of Married at First Sight. If you have not heard of that show, it is exactly what it sounds like. People meet at the altar and they get married at first sight. It's probably one of the more out there reality love show concepts. It's very intense. Their success rating is even, I think, maybe less than The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I'm not sure, but I think they have at least 5 to 6 couples each season, and maybe one couple truly makes it, or none of them make it. You know, maybe they try to continue to stay married, because the whole premise is you get married at first sight, at first sight. You spend X amount of time together. I think it's like 3 to 4 months, and then you meet up again and you decide whether to stay married or get a divorce. And I was watching this show recently, and I've seen several seasons of it. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen several seasons of it. And there was this guy that was on this show, and he was the worst person ever. I found myself sitting at my desk editing, and I would actually get pissed off. Like, my heart would start to race. I'd start to like shake my leg. I was just like, bounce my leg, you know, I'm just sitting and I'm bouncing my leg. I would get so fucking frustrated at this guy. And I won't even go into details about him per se, because if I'm being honest, it's just like every other guy most of the time that they hire for these freaking shows. So this guy was literally just the worst of the worst. Like, I can think about one person. This person isn't in my life. This person used to be in my life, and this person used to be with someone in my life. And I just kept comparing this guy to that guy that I used to know, and how he was in this relationship with this person that I saw and witnessed. And I was just so frustrated. And I was like, this is literally pissing me off. Like, I can't do this. And then I thought to myself, I was like, I can't do this. I can't sit here every day watching this crap and getting so pissed off. Like, I just, that I'm not bringing that mood into my day. I can't do it. So that season was the last season of a Love reality show that I have watched. And I don't even think I made it to the end because all of the other contestants on that season were just, wasn't going to work. And I was just done. I tapped out so fast. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And it just got me thinking too, these are the same types of people that these shows will cast. I mean, it's the same goddamn guy up there season after season. It's the same woman up there season after season. And I'm not here to say, like, obviously some people want this more than others, and some people are here, man and woman. Won't say non-binary because they don't have non-binary humans on these programs. Again, another reason why I'm just over it. I'm tired of watching straight people trying to make a relationship and like just seeing how toxic they are speaking. And of course, there's so much alcohol on these shows, and it's like watching the world's, like, in my opinion, the world's trashiest thing, and people trying to make sense of how they're feeling or how somebody else is feeling when they are so inebriated, like so inebriated. Not talking just like a few drinks. Most people are fine on a few drinks, but just inebriated. Like, all this show is just it's just like a free bar for everybody. And like, you can visibly see how drunk some people are. Oh my God. Anyways, so I thought to myself, like, they keep hiring the same freaking people time and time again. It's the same guy who says he wants to be committed and he says he wants commitment, but the actions, the communication that this guy presents does not line up. It does not line up at all. And then sometimes you'll get the woman who also comes on these shows and it's the same thing. They say they want this, they say they want this, but the actions do not line up. I have seen this vastly more with men on these shows. And I mean, that's just all I'll say about that. It's the reason why I have stopped watching these shows, because I just feel like there's so many contestants out there who shouldn't even be on these shows. Like, they shouldn't have even applied in the first place. I don't even think they know what they want or what they need. But when we keep when these producers and these cast people keep casting the same person, it's kind of like, what's that like definition of like insanity? You keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. And it's like, no, we still get the same freaking result every time. Somebody walks away. Somebody doesn't know how to control their emotions. They don't know how to speak. They don't know how to communicate. They're defensive. They hurt people. They piss people off. It's the same narrative. 15 years, it is the same narrative. And it's also, it's straight relationships too. And I'm not saying all straight relationships, but it's the idea of what people in this country, what the colonial people of this country built up, it's this, that idea of straight relationships. So most of these guys who come in here are very dominant. They're slightly sometimes aggressive. Their communication level, it's not the best. But it's the idea that they're trying to find a relationship based in this world where straight relationships have been put on a pedestal. And to go even further with it, that these relationships are very much defined by the individuals in the relationship and their gender. So most of these guys, they want the woman who's going to come in and cook for them and bow to their every need and do everything that they say, but also still sit there and support them when they literally act so inappropriately. And then you get situations where you get strong women who come in here and they're like, that's not the game. That's not the relationship that I want. But when you are on these types of shows, there are certain types of people cast to fit that straight heteronormative couple mold. This is the type of guy that every girl is looking for. Incorrect. Incorrect. And then this is the type of girl that everyone's looking for. Incorrect. And I think that was one of the biggest, just one of the biggest things that have irked me about these shows. And it also, excuse me, my mic is slipping. It also makes me really frustrated to see like on the show Married at First Sight, they have like the same three to four people who pick out these couples. And it's kind of like you see these people, like on that season, I think there was some major concerns with one of the couples that these matchmakers, that the experts, quote unquote, experts, were trying to match up. And there was such resistance on one side to this certain couple. And then there was not resistance on this other side to this other expert. And it was just so like discouraging and disheartening to watch, because of course they ended up pairing this couple. They ended up pairing this couple who are going to be bound to legally wed one another. And there was so much critique on one end of the spectrum. And it was just, I just thought like, well, it's a damn show and they're going to move forward with it anyways, regardless of whether they think they are going to be in a committed relationship or even work or gel or mesh together at all. And I was just like, see, that's disgusting to me. I was like, you can't, if there is a big pushback from somebody else in their expert field, then listen, don't just say, oh no, by paper, these two will work, because paper means nothing. And that's why we get a lot of these guys who come onto these shows and they say the same thing. They say they know the script that these producers and these people who cast the people on these shows, the contestants, they know exactly what to say. And the second that they get paired with people, it is instant like, oh, you do not know how to communicate. You're getting pissed off at your partner because she is openly communicating and you're getting frustrated and you're shutting down and it's day one. Or you thought you were going to have someone who was quote unquote easier and not rock the boat and do everything that you wanted. And it literally makes my blood boil. Like before these people even get married, it's just like, why in the F have you done this? Like, it's just, I mean, these are people's lives. And of course they understand that too. They're signing up for this show or these types of shows, but it's like, I understand it's television, but it's also, these are also the lives of people, and you are going to greatly affect the rest of their lives forever. And especially when it came to Married at First Sight, the discrepancy I saw on the men's side in these relationships was it was astronomical. It was astronomical. There were so many, because in this show, you have to agree to do all these things. You have to agree to live together. I can't even count on both of my hands the amount of times that a guy would refuse to move in with his wife. And it's like, dude, you signed up for this show anyways, and you're not already giving your full commitment to this. And here your poor wife is showing up, even though in the back of her head, she's like, this guy's a fucking dick. But I committed to something and I am still going to follow through. I barely, rarely, again, I haven't seen all of the seasons of Married at First Sight, but I never saw that with a woman. And it was like season after season after season, one to two guys just refusing to be a part of the process. And I'm just like, who in the F chose you to be a contestant on this show? So it doesn't even come down to like the poor people who get suckered into doing these shows. It's the people who freaking contact them to be a contestant on this show. We're just in the same cycle of bullshit and bullshit people, to be frank, who keep doing this. And it's not a surprise that the lack of people who still stay committed and still stay in these relationships is like less than who knows how many. That the lack of people who still stay committed and still stay in these relationships is like less than probably 20, 25%. Like the statistics are not great. They're not great at all. But we keep doing it. We keep choosing the same person to be on these shows, and we keep choosing to watch this crap, knowing exactly how it's going to play out. Like it's almost scary slash sad how accurate we can predict these things happening. Because again, when you hire the same type of person, that person tends they tend to make the same slash similar mistakes. It is honestly like it blows my mind. It blows my mind. But something that I recently saw on, I think it was like one of the new Bachelor and Bachelorettes, is it's just we go back to the same white dude from the middle of nowhere who's searching to find love, who loves football and God and his family. And it's the same guy, time and time again. And it's like I can't differentiate any of these guys. Like literally all of these guys look the same. They're tall, they have dark hair, maybe some light eyes, maybe a little bit of a beard. They literally like they look the same. And it's just so funny to me that we had like a couple seasons where we had black leads in The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and then nothing. And then we're back to the same white people. But let's go even further. It took us 10 years plus for that franchise to have Rachel, a black woman, be The Bachelorette, and then Matt, a black man, to be The Bachelor. Have we seen any other races? We haven't seen an Asian lead. We haven't seen an Indian lead. We haven't seen any sort of other Eastern Asian like lead. Nothing. We haven't seen Native. We haven't seen Polynesian. We haven't seen anything. And then also, I mean, thinking about the black leads that we have had on this show, they are light-skinned black individuals. And I should probably do more research as to what network Bachelor and Bachelorette is on, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was a Republican network. But it's disgusting. Like it's white people everywhere. The same goddamn white people making the same stupid mistakes time and time and time and time and time again. I'm just like, I've blown away, really. And I actually think, I don't know about Michelle because, again, I stopped after Katie's season. I stopped Bachelor, Bachelorette, everything. I was just done. I was so done. But I'm pretty positive that Rachel is still with the man that she chose. Matt is with the woman that he also chose. And I'm pretty sure Michelle is still with the man that she chose. So it's just, but then here we are right again, down deep, in deep, with just more white people, more middle of the country white people. And I'm done. There's not enough diversity. There's just not enough for this show anymore that makes me want to come back and keep watching it, knowing that the same thing is going to play out time and time and time and time again. Especially knowing that they will not highlight any other race. They will never have an Asian woman up there. They will probably never have an Asian man. They will never have Native people, Hispanic people as a lead up there. It's just, and if they do, they're probably going to be mixed. They're going to be a little bit more palatable for white center of America people who mostly predominantly watch this show. So it's disgusting. And I refuse to be a part of it even anymore. I refuse to watch it. It makes me cringe now. The only reason that I watched this so consistently, especially into my late 20s, was it was a show that one of my best friends and I watched. And when she passed, her mother and her sister and I, we kept the tradition going. And it was more so in honor of her to watch these shows. And I don't regret watching these shows with them. We had some good times. We eventually started watching these in bars in Fremont. And we would make the bartenders put on The Bachelor and Bachelorette every week, and people would get pissed, and we didn't give a shit. So I don't regret any of these seasons that I have watched. It's just watching these seasons and seeing the insane lack of change that they make in the people that they pick, in the situations that they pin these contestants in. It's not entertaining to me anymore. It's sad. It makes me frustrated. And I'm sorry, like when it comes to straight relationships, there's just a lot of messed up things that I associate that with. I unfortunately associate and thinking about a lot of the relationships that I see in my life, that there is the man in the relationship requires more, desires more, and also feels that they are entitled to more. And I'm tired of seeing people in my life who are mothers who do most of the work or all of the work. And it's just, this is at the forefront of these shows. And I can't do it anymore. Like, I'm sorry, where is the queer love? Where is the gay love? Where is the love that is and was repressed, but for so long, for so many centuries, by so many people, even so many people today, because that's genuine love. And I'm not here saying that, like, if you're in a straight relationship, it's not genuine. I'm saying the concept, the idea of straight relationships in the first place, the idea that straight relationships in the church are the only way to have a relationship, the hierarchy of straight relationships, the guy at the top, the woman at the bottom. I'm not trying to call you out. If you're a girl and you are with a man, or if you're a man and you're with a woman, I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just saying that it's kind of like, it's like, I don't mean to like take it this way, but it's like all ACAB. Yeah, sure, you can be a good cop, but it's the premise. So it's like straight relationships. Sure, you can be very happy and in love, but it's the premise. And why is this relationship, straight people being in a relationship, highlighted so heavily in this world and on these reality love shows? And it's a wonder why we all get so frustrated and we get so pissed off and like, oh, they didn't even end up together or all this bullshit. We knew this was going to happen. It happened the season before and the season before that and the season before that. It's just like it's inevitable. So I have stopped. I have fully fucking stopped. Now, however, with all of the reality love shows that are out there, I will still continue to watch Love Island UK and Australia. I have never watched Love Island US, and I don't want to. I'm only watching these shows because I'm basically just here for the accents. I mean, you cannot lie to me and say that it is not entertaining to watch these shows and listen to these Essex accents and Liverpool accents. I will continue to watch these because I freaking love hearing these people talk. And and if this is not true, then I'm not watching it. But I think the next season of Love is Blind is Seattle-based people. And I'm just curious. I'm just curious about that one. So I probably will watch that. But I'm done watching all of these shows. I've never seen Too Hot to Handle or all of these new ones that keep popping up on Netflix like every other day. It's like just a new one and a new one and a new one. I stopped watching Bachelor and Bachelorette years ago. I immediately quit Married at First Sight very recently. I used to peruse and dabble in 90 Day Fiancé. Stopped that. That's a whole other can of worms there. We're not just dealing with quote unquote love. We're dealing with citizenship, and sometimes that can get ugly between two people if one person is gung-ho committed on a romantic relationship and the other person isn't. And to each their own, that's not a show I'm about to dive into. I've never really been super committed with it. So yeah, I quit. I quit. I quit watching all of this bullshit. And since I have quit, my life seriously has not been better. Or has been better. Excuse me. Again, I'm a little delirious today, and I'm surviving as of right now. My life has been so much better after getting rid of these shows, and I have replaced these reality shows with cooking shows, baking shows, cooking reality shows, cooking contests, the Great British Bake Off. Never in my life had I seen the Great British Bake Off, but I've heard about people talking about this show for over a decade. It is sensational. I don't even bake. I don't have a sweet tooth. I don't ever see myself becoming a baker because I don't really have that big of a sweet tooth. I'll go hard on a bag of Tim's jalapeno chips right now. But if you, even if you give me one of those little Ben and Jerry ice creams, I might have like less than 7 spoonfuls. Some people can down that shit in one sitting. I can down a bag of jalapeno chips in one sitting. I have a savory tooth. I do not have a sweet tooth. But this show, I don't know what it is about it. I mean, we all know what it is. It's the best. It's kind, it's gentle. It's soothing. It's bizarrely therapeutic, even though the bakers are stressed. They're so stressed. And I didn't get it at first because the only seasons available on Netflix are season 5 through, I think, 10. So I'm on season 6 now. And I get that Prue and Paul are like big wigs. And like the whole thing is like, you really want Paul to shake your hand and all of this stuff. And it's just so cute. And it's so soothing on my little heart. And instead of waking up, hopping into work, hopping into editing, and watching a show that just seriously pisses me the fuck off, I watch this. I watch the cooking shows. I learn more tips and tricks in the kitchen. I learn how to saute and flavor up a cucumber better. I have become someone who still doesn't cook that much at home, but I have a better idea on how to. I have a better knowledge of how to. And that's actually something that's sustainable and practical. It's something tangible that I can actually take away from watching these shows. I stop these shows and then I have a smile on my face. You know, I stop the show and go like walk my dog. I'm like, oh my God, how cute was Prue and Paul and Raoul giving him his like 30th handshake of the season, even though the poor guy's like freaking out and he still thinks he's doing terribly when he's doing beautifully. It's so much better than literally rage shutting off a TV show and screaming, "You fucking tick! You goddamn asshole! Why are you on this show? Who raised you? Who told you to speak like that?" Man, life has changed for the better. And if anybody is going through this same willy-nilly situation of watching these reality love shows and you're just tapped out, know that you are not alone. Because it is the same regurgitated bullshit over and over again. It is the same people, people with the similar platforms and the stories and the situations and how things are going to pan out. Guess what? It's going to be the same. You have seen it before and you will see it again. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. And again, for me now, being on the side of asexuality, I don't necessarily desire a lot of things in life when it comes to relationships, benefits from relationships. It just doesn't make sense for me to be watching this stuff anymore. And I went so many years watching it. And I mean, this is probably also a huge contributing factor to why I see most straight relationships as so incredibly toxic and not okay. Not something that I ever want to be in. Because you have the man is supposed to be the man and the woman is supposed to be the woman. Bullshit. But it's still so prevalent in today's day. Even if you have the most progressive people in the world, you still can see that dynamic in a relationship. I will gladly stick to my cooking and baking shows and go throughout my day smiling and saying, "Ooh, that looks good," rather than literally getting angry and mad and frustrated and taking it out on my pillows, beating my pillows, just screaming in my pillow. Those days are done. They are over. It feels so good to just let that go. Again, Love Island, UK and AU, I will still watch. And if you haven't watched them, watch it. You'll soon find that you're just in it for the accents as well, because it's just too good. It's just too good. So, yeah, on that note, thank you for coming to another episode where I yet rant about something in this world and society and country that pisses me off. And how convenient, because my doorbell just rang and my dog is now barking. So yeah, I am going to stop this now. Thank you. Bye.